Wilo.
We now pause for station identification. We're that little building on the west end of town with antennas on top of the roof. This is WILO, Frankfurt.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfurt focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfurt at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
At Encompass Credit Union, we provide a list of financial services, from online and mobile banking technology to easy-to-apply online loan applications. We offer credit cards and loans at competitive rates, so stop by or give us a call. We can tell you all about the services we offer. We're an equal housing lender. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
Community-minded, just like you.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We're now being joined by our in-studio guest, who's Frankfurt Police Chief Troy Bacon. Troy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Just fine. How are you?
I'm okay. How's the weather out there?
Well, it's a little slick, snowy, and cold, but I think it's starting to warm up a little bit.
I know Daryl Sanders called us here about 7 o'clock this morning, said we're under a travel advisory until further notice. So,
yeah.
Does that affect, how much does this weather affect you guys any, or does it change the way you go about doing things? Or?
Well, traditionally in the past, we haven't had vehicles that would hold up to snow and ice just because they weren't four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and now we've kind of made that transition to the Fords, the Interceptors, which are now four-wheel or all-wheel drive, so we can get through the snow and the sleet and the slush a lot easier now. We can get to calls for service, so it's working out pretty well for us. So it really doesn't affect us too much.
When we are under a travel advisory, does that change? Does that change the perception of how you guys go ahead and deal with motorists that are out there?
Not really. And sometimes I think those travel advisories can be a little confusing to people because they don't know what they have to do or what they should do. And really, it's just use caution. Understand that the roads are slick, and use due regard for the weather and so forth. And if that, everybody does that, we'll be just fine. And it appears this morning that's been the case. I checked the records before I came up here, and we really haven't had anything going on this morning. I haven't been notified or didn't see any accidents or slide-offs. So that's a good thing.
Of course, when I came in, there wasn't anybody on the road. But I know it's one of those things where you just, you never really know. Uh-huh. I just hope people don't start using some of these, when they think, okay, we're about done with this, let's just don't start speeding up and down these roads.
Yeah, I know the street department's out, so hopefully we can get there are some slick spots, so still, would tell people to exercise caution because it's still a slick out there, but street department's out, and I think as the day goes on, it'll warm up and it'll all kind of go away.
And you guys don't have anything to do with the county, but I'm just saying, Daryl was saying that the bridges and the overpasses are particularly slick out in the county, but just so be careful when you're out there.
You know what? I would also tell people that their porches are going to be a little slick too. So be careful when you go out your front door today. It's going to be slick.
Yep. When you step down that first step, be extremely careful if you have to step down particularly.
Yes. Yes. Just
be ready for that. Speaking of speeding, we've been talking about these travel posters, posting signs you're going to have. Talk a little bit about that if you would.
You're talking about the radar?
The radar.
Okay.
Yeah, the radar signs.
So a couple weeks ago, the last Board of Works meeting was.
Well, it was one yesterday, but about a month ago.
So we discussed putting up some flashing speed signs in various locations, and those are going to go up, and we considered supplementing those with portable speed radar trailers that we can place in strategic areas around the city that we know are prone to high speeds, and we can also put those trailers in event locations like the Hot Dog Festival or parades or so forth, just to get people to slow down and let them know what their vehicle speed is. And traditionally, those have been pretty effective.
Now, when do you think those are going to start being here and being out and about?
I made the proposal yesterday, so whenever the city decides to make that that purchase, we'll be ready to do that. So okay. I'm not really sure when that'll happen.
But just for people who don't know what they are, you're going to get a flashing sign or flashing light that should alert you to what's going on.
So, yeah. So the ones that I propose actually has what the speed limit sign is. There'll be a sign that sits off to the side on the trailer, and then it'll flash your vehicle speed. Mm-hmm. And if you're going over that speed, it'll start flashing, and there'll be some lights that'll flicker to get your attention. And also, it does vehicle counts. So it will also count how many vehicles go through. And people may say, well, why would we have that feature? And I'll tell you why. Anytime there's a highway grant or a road grant, mm-hmm. or if there is a citizen that wants to express a concern about speeding cars or too many vehicles on their road, we can put that device there
right.
and get an accurate account of how many vehicles are going up and down that road instead of putting an officer there. And yeah. we can utilize that officer someplace else and put the speed counter and the vehicle counter there.
And also, you don't have to mess around with the state that as much either when you have to do those kind of things.
Yeah, if we can demonstrate that we can do it ourselves, then it makes the process a little bit easier.
When you said that yesterday, I'm thinking like that's great because we need to have those car counts. I think we're here around here more than what we use them for.
There's some definitely some good data that can come from that, of course.
What are the colors those signs going to flash? They're going to be like a flashing red or a flashing orange or. You know what kind of color we're going to get when we go flashing through those spots yet?
There's a couple different options that we can pick. There's a white that you can pick. The speed and radar trailers themselves, you can also get red and blue, so it gets your attention as well. But I'm not sure what color the street department, Jason Forsyth, picked out for the permanent ones.
Okay. What's the latest on the police station? I know it's kind of in limbo a little bit right now, but from where you guys are at, where are you thinking?
Well, it's not in limbo. I think people need to understand that the average time for these processes to happen are anywhere from 3 to 5 years. They don't happen very fast. There's a lot of things that are involved in the whole process, land acquisitions, studies that have to happen. You've got to make sure the soil will hold the building that you want to build. There's the architectural component of it. There's the financing component. So it's a long process. But in a nutshell, we are still in the land acquisition phase, working through that. And hopefully we can get that finalized and moving forward pretty soon.
I know Mayor told me that in the prime spot that you guys wanted, the guy doesn't want to deal with you right now. So you're looking at maybe the next option. So.
Well, everything's on the table right now, so we're just working through it. I'll say that.
So, are you guys still looking at all four options that you originally thought about? Or
no.
So you got down to about two or three?
As far as I'm concerned, it's still two spots.
Okay.
And we're approaching a time where we need to make a hard decision what we're going to do.
Okay. Has there been any interest in the building that you guys have if and when you leave for somebody to take that building over?
No, and I think we're still a little early on that. We've got some time to find someone to move in there. Realistically, if things go as planned and as fast as we want them to, it'll be a year and a half before we're even out of there. So okay. we've got some time to work on that.
Okay. Also, you sent me about a couple weeks ago, you sent me a very interesting article on some drugs situation, which I thought was a very interesting article that you sent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was, I forget if it was...
One was on fentanyl and...
Yeah, but I forget who published it, but yeah. I try to send you some articles from time to time that I think you might find interesting.
Yeah, those are always good to see, some of those things are still going.
And if you remember in that article, I wish I had it.
I've got it on my computer, but, I don't have it with me either right now.
It really emphasizes what chiefs of police around the country have been saying since fentanyl and heroin really took off was watch out. Don't put all your resources in one basket because heroin's coming, or not heroin, but methamphetamine's going to come back and some of the synthetic drugs are going to start kicking in and getting more strong and we're going to have to start battling everything instead of just one. And healthy communities have also said that. They were on, I think, Carolina, not healthy communities, but United Way was on here the other day, and they also expressed that as well. So I think we're all on the same page. It's just kind of figuring out how we can all collectively deal with the whole instead of...
I think what people really don't understand is that these drugs, they may go away for a while, but they always seem to make themselves back around. It's always like a continual cycle. They always come back here at some point in time.
They do. Yep.
And for you guys, it just makes it a never-ending cycle of what, you know, you just think, well, if we're going to have a little bit less of this for the time being. But in reality, we know it's going to come back.
And as for police, we have to be ready to adapt. We have to be ready to change our tactics. We have to be able to change our resources as that shifts and moves and comes and goes. So we're going to do that, and we have been doing that.
And also, and then something we're going to have here in about another month, we're going to have a mental health summit here. And I think people don't necessarily correlate between the two, but mental health and drug and all that stuff is kind of a correlated problem.
Mental health, drugs, crime. There's a lot of things that are interconnected.
So I think that's something we're going to make sure we get out and about. And
yeah.
So I think it's something for people. You know, people, as I said, may not agree that those are together, but they are in lots of different ways. So.
Very much.
You just hired a new office here recently. I would put you right on your number for right now, or are you still looking for more?
No. So we've hired Blake Ramos.
Right.
He were there. He's sworn in and has done some pre-basic training. Now he's in his field officer training phase. So he's out on the road now. Yeah. And so that puts us to 32, and we are authorized for next year for 34. So we are in the process of hiring two officers right now, which will take effect after January 1.
So you guys are have you gone through the pool pretty much? They're going through all their training and seeing how well they test out and that kind of thing right now?
For the new applicants?
Yeah.
So they are right now just getting ready to start the background phase. So they have all of the applicants have completed the interview phase.
Okay. So you want to get to 34, and then that's where it's going to stop, I take it, for a while.
Well, we will get to 34. You know, one of the challenges that we've had since, 7 years ago I took office was retirements.
Right.
And there are some officers at our department right now who can retire, and there's some that I know are going to. So I would like to, I've said this before, I'd like to get to our full strength and stay that way for a while. But I don't see that happening for a little bit.
If you were to I just want a number about how many people do you think could retire? How many would you lose if that were the case, approximately?
I think just off the, without looking at the pictures and the chart, I think there's probably about five that could retire next year. Mm-hmm. There's plenty that could retire today if they wanted to.
Yeah,
but I don't know that they will. It's just something as management, you gotta be conscious of that. There are people that could leave, and you gotta be prepared to fill that.
I've told you this before, and I've told this to everybody. You guys have got a very strong police force, and especially the new ones that you hired, to me, are just tremendous.
Yes, they. We've really hired some good talent, and we have veteran good talent as well. So that really blends well together, and everything seems to be clicking right now. And our crime rates show that, and we just want to keep that momentum up.
And it seems like people are starting to. And I take it they also the connection between you guys and the community is also getting better as well.
It is, but it's a constant thing that we have to work on. Mm-hmm. It's not something that just happens overnight and fixes itself. We knew from the very beginning we had some gaps that we needed to fill, and we're going to continue doing that as we move on.
Okay, I'm going to take a break here for a second. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, all at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Don't leave your home in the dark. Add a beautiful sunroom by Welty's. With a Welty sunroom, you'll enjoy nature's beauty. Sunrises and sunsets mean more each day. Even the birds, squirrels, snowfall, or rain showers take on new beauty in the comfort of your home. Welty Custom Exteriors will help design your sunroom and build it for you. Improve the value of your home and add to the quality of your life with a beautiful sunroom from Welty's. Building all over North Central Indiana. Call 1-800-466-7231. That's 1-800-466-7231.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with Clinton County Daily News.com. Our in-studio guest is Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Morning. Troy, you guys implemented your officers over at the Community Schools of Frankfort this year.
Yes.
And from all appearances, it appears like it's working just like you wanted it to.
It appears so. I've had nothing but positive feedback from the administration, school administration, teachers, and parents. And by the look of the faces on those kids when they see their SRO, I'm pretty confident that program's working.
And I take it to, you know, and talking to some of the officers who I know pretty well, I think they're fairly happy with it too.
They are. It's still a program that's evolving and growing, and they all know that. And, you know, I think it just gets better from here.
You know, and there was an incident that happened last week. There was a threatening incident at school, which, you know, I think what people need to understand is that when they mean you guys and then school district means zero tolerance, there's zero tolerance for any of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's something I don't think anybody really, you know, I saw somebody post something to the story we ran on CCDN saying, well, you know, the kid was maybe having a little bit of fun or whatever. The problem is that you can't take a chance on something like that.
You can't, no. And I'll tell you what, this last incident, we let the schools handle the release and on the information. But I will say that the cooperation between the Community Schools of Frankfort and the Frankfort Police Department was the best I'd ever seen it. I mean, it was seamless. The detectives did a great job. The school staff did a great job. The school security did a great job. The SRO did an awesome job. So it was just the whole thing gelled probably better than any other situation that we've done in a long time.
And you know, when I was over there for the training that your SROs were giving the administrators, that mm-hmm. was, you know, everybody was in tune with it. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. Like, you know, this is what they were interested in learning too. And mm-hmm. that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, and I was talking to one of the SROs. It's been a couple weeks, but they were explaining how safety-minded now all of the staff is at their school. Mm-hmm. They've become aware of it. It's not that they're paranoid about it. It's just they're thinking about it now. And now they know that they have an SRO there they can bounce some ideas off of and implement programs. It's becoming a really good thing.
And that's the way it has to be because, yeah. You know, as we all know, I mean, there's certain things, you know, if people really want to get in, they're going to get in regardless of what you try and do. I mean, you like to try to minimize mm-hmm. that as much as possible. But,
right.
but the reality is if they want in, they're going to get in.
Yeah.
So that's something we don't even want to think about. What have you got going the rest of this year? I know we got about 6 weeks left of this year. Is there anything special going on the rest of this year that you want to get out there?
Well, I will say that this Sunday, the FOP is having a food drive. So if you want to stop by it's at IGA. And if you want to stop by between 11 and 1 and drop off a canned good or non-perishable, we'll take it and we'll donate it to local food banks to feed the hungry. So I would encourage people to do that. You know, it's the end of the year, so everything's kind of bottlenecking. budget's getting thin, and vacations and holidays are piling up. But we are working on some things that hopefully we can implement next year that will not only help employees but help the city as well. So stay tuned.
Okay. Speaking of next year, is there anything big on the docket that you guys want to try and roll out or try and get going for next year as far as, you know, new things or just a continuation of what you're doing for right now?
You know, I think right now, Ken, it's just a continuation of what we're doing and keeping morale high and keeping motivation good and keeping that that involvement and community engagement with our citizens, keeping that going because it seems to be really working for us. That's really a goal. And if things pop up and come up, we'll deal with them. But, you know, just keep doing what we're doing because these officers out there, they're doing a great job.
You know, and you guys had a coffee with a cop here recently, and I know you haven't had a community event, another community event like your, you know, neighborhood meetings, but I know those are going to come back, I assume, here next year for sure.
Yeah, we've had several this year. We've kind of tweaked them a little bit. The traditional sit down in a church or sit down at a building, we've kind of gotten away from because we see that people are more receptive to these ideas and more they're more eager to come to a community meeting when we're doing something, when it's coffee with a cop or cones with a cop, where we had the ice cream event, or walking in the neighborhood shoulder to shoulder with each other. Those are the events that really get people out. And we've kind of transitioned and focused on those types of events more than the traditional sit down.
And I think also, didn't you guys have a walk with the kids to school also? I think, did you guys participate in that a little bit, or was that just basically the administrators?
I wasn't here, but I think that was the National Walk to School Day.
Okay.
So we did have some officers involved in that as well.
And the other thing is, I think another reason you guys do have the SROs is because you want to make sure that the kids don't see the cops as the bad guys.
Right. You know, every police department around the country talks about community policing, community engagement, partnership. But we mean it here. And one of the key components that that are building that foundation is the relationships we have with those kids. That's that seed. That's the first plant of community policing, community engagement, and partnerships, and having a positive environment or positive interactions with that officer and the students is going to carry on their whole lifetime, which is going to benefit this community.
You know, and I noticed yesterday the judge and the guy, the kid over in Noblesville got, you know, youth detention until he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any thoughts on that, or just is that something you think more sentences ought to be, or just because if you're not going to try him as an adult, that's about the only option you got.
About the only option you got, and my heart breaks for the victims. I mean, Mr. Siemens came out with a statement. You could tell it was heartfelt. He was frustrated. I get it, but the laws are going to have to change if people want more penalty on that. So it is what it is, I guess.
You know, that's kind of the segue. I'm kind of glad you went it that way, because what is the future of law enforcement going to be in a lot of different ways? Because there seems like there's a lot of things that are kind of sitting there, kind of open, kind of in limbo right now, because when you see some of the lawmakers wanting to kind of reduce some of the penalties for certain things like marijuana and those kind of things, and you got driverless vehicles, you've got, you know, drones, you've got all that kind of stuff. It seems like there's a lot of things out there that really don't have a lot of laws for you guys to go follow right now.
Well, you know, that's a good question, because you've lumped a lot of issues that necessarily don't deal directly with policing, but there's a lot of policies that are going to need to be thought of, some laws by our legislators. I think there's some things that need to happen with sentencing laws. You know, we deal with people all the time that we just put in jail and now they're out committing more offenses. That's got to change. That's pretty disheartening for officers. Mm-hmm. The driverless cars, those are already out there. They're already being tested. There are some things that need to be worked out about who's really in control. If the passenger's intoxicated in the back seat, are they liable for a crash? Is there anything that, you know, that needs to be worked out concretely? There's some criminal justice reform now being laid out. I think President Trump announced some of that yesterday, which I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some reform that needs to happen. You know, you've asked a pretty in-depth question where I see, you know, I don't want to seem like a broken record, but I'll stay here in Frankfurt. I see us in the future becoming more technologically advanced, because society is going to be more technologically advanced. Officers today that hire on, they're doing things that I never would have dreamed of doing. Mm-hmm. They've got computers in their cars. They're working on situations that I would have never have thought was ever going to come to Frankfurt 20 years ago. We got to continue to hire people that can adapt, that can change, that know how to do that techie stuff, because I'm not that good at it as much as I think I am. I mean, I can send a tweet out, but it's a good question, Ken. It really is. It's I don't know. But I know that we're resilient. I know that we are a force that's flexible and that can change. And we're ready to do that whenever we need to. Whenever those laws change, whenever those policies change, we're flexible and we'll make sure it happens for the betterment of the community.
I would assume that one of your things, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule, I would take it, that when you hire new people, you're probably looking for how well they adapt to certain things, and they can keep adapting to changing things as things go along.
Yeah, I tell you, most of the people we hire now, the millennials, they're pretty good at that. They're pretty good at multitasking and changing and working on six different things at the same time. And really, that's where you need to what you need to do. And in a 21st century policing model, you've got to be able to do multiple different things because there's a lot of things that are expected of you, many of which should never be asked for the police to even do to begin with. Mm-hmm. But we are, and we take that on. And you know, when we hire a police officer, we look at a lot of things. I mean, it's not just one particular thing. It's and one of the most important things is, you know, will they fit in here?
Mm-hmm.
Each community is different. Each philosophy is different. And that's something we also take into consideration.
You brought up a minute ago talking about how many times you see people. You mean you see them a lot for people like repeat offenders and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Should we have a law out there that says, okay, if we arrest you for the same crime or almost the same crime more than one or two times a year, should that be an automatic where you just don't get out? Or how do you look at something like that?
Well, there are some three strike laws out there. And there's the habitual offender laws. I don't know. I mean, if a guy gets arrested three times for being drunk in public, should he be locked away forever?
No, okay.
So those are the things you have to deal with.
I was thinking more on the drug side.
The hardened criminal, yeah. The person who commits crimes against people, has proven to society that they don't deserve chances anymore, maybe so.
Okay.
But I think that we also have to be conscious of the fact that people grow up in different environments than others. In that we need to also think, can they be reformed? Can we reform them? Can we put them back into society? Is there a way to change their mindset? So those are all issues that are being thought of right now for that criminal justice reform. So that's a really good question.
Is criminal justice reform really still really on the forefront? Because we don't hear a lot about it anymore.
Well, you don't hear a lot about the 21st century policing model that President Obama and his task force put out. That's still out there. That's still being looked at. It's still being done. President Trump and that commission is doing some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, they announced some prison reform that I think is needed. They've got law enforcement backing on that. The IACP is backs that. I think the National FOP does as well. So there's some things moving. I think the last criminal justice reform was back in the 60s, maybe late 60s. So it might be time to look at where we're at, where we need to be. So I think it's a good thing.
I mean, you know, to me, it's like it almost seems like criminal justice reform is almost like, you know, how they don't get updated as often as, say, some of the ordinances that we have in this, you know, in each of these communities. It seems like it takes them forever to get updated and move forward on some things.
It does, because you're not just changing one department. You're changing an institution. And some departments don't want to change. Others do. You can't do a one-size-fits-all for every agency. And I think that was one of the problems with the 21st Century Policing Commission that President Obama put out or established. There's some really good stuff in there, but not every agency can do it. And if something happened and I just can't do something that's in that, I'm going to be held accountable for that and looked down upon. So the reform that happens has to be reform that everyone can do across the board. And that's hard to find what that is. I think that's why it's taken so long.
But as I said earlier, I think that's something your force and you guys have really been able to get good people who I think have been able to change pretty much on the fly, at least from my perspective. It seems like they've done a pretty good job of that.
It is. And going back to front, there's one thing that we can all do. That's treat people with respect, uphold their constitutional rights, and serve the public. We can all do that.
Uh-huh.
So if we can reinforce those three things, I know we can all do that. And all the little things can come later.
Yep. And also, if you see something, say something.
Absolutely. We just posted a couple days ago, Officer Hessian did a nice public service announcement about if you see something, say something. So if you haven't seen that, check the Frankfort Police Department's Twitter or Facebook account. You can watch that video.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before I turn you loose?
No, I just want to say thank you to the community. It's been a pleasure this year working with the community. And we've got some more time, but I just want to say thank you for the partnerships and cooperation that we have built together to really affect crime. This is really becoming a really nice place to live, and I'm proud to be your chief of police.
I'll tell you what, I would have never dreamed I'd been here as long as I have been, but I really enjoy it here, and I don't want to leave here anytime soon.
It's a fun place.
It can be. Yes, it can.
Yes.
Troy, thanks much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Everybody have a great day. Be safe out there. Take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.